Chapter 2. Looking back to look forward. I had issues with my parents. I felt rejected, hurt, and unloved. I had to look back to my grandparents and to their story before I could go forward. Grandparents. My grandparents met at the age of 14, married, and did their best to navigate that what life threw at them. Coming through World War II was their first challenge. They were everyday people trying to do their best in an unknown world with no clear directions. They only knew what they'd been told. The sense of fear, anxiety, and not having enough was rife at this time, following rations and a culture of saving for the unknown. When my grandmother's parents died, she received nothing. Everything went to her brothers, as she was married and her husband would look after her. She never forgave her brothers for keeping everything and cut all contact, holding on to unforgiveness and grief for the rest of her life. Both of my grandparents on my mother's side were empty, hurt, and lonely. They both carried massive burdens from their past, with no understanding of how to offload or process it. There were two broken people trying to fill the hole in their hearts with love they didn't have. Life had happened to them, and they were doing all the things, attempting to fill the void within. They played golf. He was the MD of an international firm, and when he wasn't at work, he was in the garden digging. They had a full social calendar, which became a lifeline to my grandmother, who used the bottle to fill her void in my mum's childhood years. They gave my mum everything money could buy, from ponies to cars to jobs. However, past hurts limited their capacity to love. In those days, we were told to keep calm and carry on. All their grief and sadness was bottled up inside, preventing them from connecting with their hearts in love. Parents. Mum's life had always been one way, all about what she could get. Mum, like her parents, was trying to fill the hole in her heart externally. As I write this book today, this is where she remains, with a beautiful home, a zippy little sports car, the doting dog, and an outstanding equestrian business with her second husband, who she met when he was 19 and she was in her 40s. It all looks good, ticks all the boxes, and yet the emptiness, bitterness, and sadness on the inside remains. She holds unto every misdemeanor, harbors injustice, and won't have anything to do with anyone who doesn't agree with her. Consequently, she has chosen to have little or no contact with either of her children or her grandchildren. My dad has been sent off to boarding school at an early age. He was dyslexic and constantly told he was dumb. His brother was killed in a car accident at the age of 19, when Dad was 17. He worked tirelessly to prove his value and worth to his parents and to my mum. He left the safety of employment to start his own business, so he could provide all that mum required, but that was a bottomless pit. Subsequently, he lost his wife and children, and then his business. He remarried later and found the peace, happiness, love, and real joy that he'd been searching for all his life. My brother went to live with them for a while, and I reconnected with Dad at the age of 17. Dad carried the weight of his world for many years. He always did what was right, noble, and true. He never shared any of his burdens with us until much later, when I started to ask questions. My dad was brought back to his faith through his marriage to my stepmum. He did a huge amount of charity work, lots of floats and fun things with kids and families, raising money for good causes, driven by the pain of missing out with his own children. Instead of being bitter, he chose to make it better by pouring energy into the charity work to give other children what he had been prevented from giving to his own. Seed sown. So much can come from our deepest pain. I see it so often in the space I live and work in, how a person's pain becomes their promise. I heard the saying, pain to rain, recently, and this is exactly where Dad was, raining through his pain, becoming better, not bitter. What the enemy meant for evil, God always turns for good, if we let him. What was meant to take Dad out and to keep him trapped and miserable became his footstool to take him higher. Pain is often the biggest leg up we get in life. Interesting that the relationship between my brother and myself and my dad was fully restored within 7 years. And it was my dad that our children talk about and remember. I am sharing this background information not for anyone to feel sorry for them or for me, or to highlight our faults. I share this part of my story and how I see it, because without it, the chapters ahead won't make sense. My parents have always done their best, and I honour them both for that. Each and every one of us only knows in part. The parts they knew had massive gaps. Understanding their history has released me from my own pain and enabled me to connect with empathy, releasing myself and them for not meeting my needs and expectations. It goes back to chapter one, where each of us has the lead role in our lives. I needed to get onto their stage to gain some much needed wisdom and insight, so that the gates of heaven, which is love, kindness, gentleness, grace, mercy, compassion, and empathy, could be opened, and the gates of hell, bitterness, selfishness, unforgiveness, harboring pain, not being good enough, could be closed. I now walk with parents who, like myself and my parents, have pain from their past that they want to release and no longer want to pass on to the next generation. Many of us have been looking for the missing piece in our lives. We are wanting to be given the key that unlocks the power within. So when we let go of the pain, the hurt and the suffering and be free to live our best lives, unhindered by excess baggage that doesn't belong to us. My heart is to give you, the reader, some tools to put in your life skills toolbox so that you can make the rest of your life the best of your life, without being bound by past hurts. Neither my parents nor I had anywhere to go for sound advice or anyone to walk with who would have their best interests at heart. It is such a joy to walk with people on their journey to free them from their past so they can be the most successful version of themselves in true alignment with the desires of their heart, skills, talents, qualities, characteristics, and future self. My prayer is that this book, as I share my story and the lessons I have learnt, that your heart and mind will come into alignment with what is noble, right, and true for you. So you too will be released from your past and free to live your life by design, full of peace, love, joy, prosperity, and abundance. The search for meaning. Having covered the ruling power of good character in chapter 1, we now have something firm to stand on, to look ahead to the promise or possibilities of the future. Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, illustrates how those with hope and a future, a belief or vision for more than what is around them in that moment, rise up and make it through. When we have a true driving force in our lives, we find the how. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I recently read Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. He does an incredible job explaining the cycle that occurs when the medicine for the problem becomes the problem. He specifically applied it to alcoholics. I have a dear friend who started off having a glass of wine at 5 p.m. after a stressful day to calm her nerves and help her navigate her evenings of loneliness after a failed marriage. She was left running a business and looking after two gorgeous girls on her own. One glass became two glasses, then three glasses, then a bottle, then a couple of bottles. What I didn't know then was how this loop works. She gets up in the morning and has to have a drink to take away the pain of the hangover. This beautiful lady has lost just about everything. Her friends, her home, her business, and her girls are away carving their own path. Looking for the quick fix to her pain, rather than facing it and coming out victorious, left her as a victim. Many of us want to hide our pain or weakness for fear of being a failure or being judged and condemned. The crazy thing is, when we are open about it, the power of pain goes, the right people and true possibilities then come. My husband shared this comment at dinner last night, and I feel it expresses this so well. If you knew me like I know me, you might not like me, and if you don't like me, I have nothing else I can offer, so I hide myself and show you a mask. The sadness of this statement is that the mask prevents us from being our authentic selves, preventing us from making real, genuine connections. My friend, not wanting to deal with her pain, wanting to cover it up, thinking she was broken and something was wrong with her, has taken herself down a destructive path. Nothing was or is wrong with her. She was and currently is still out of alignment. Like wheels on a car that are out of alignment, they wear out unevenly and lose their grip on the road, taking us off track and into unhelpful places. Many have turned to other things to gain relief and release from the internal pain. I believe that this is because they are off course, thinking that they are doing the best for their families by providing the finances while dying inside. What I was not expecting was a crazy phenomenon that when people work in their zone of genius, in line with the desires of their heart and their unique gifting, the prosperity and abundance comes into alignment too, and financial freedom then follows. I had been pushing all my life, trying so hard, and when I stopped, rested, and realigned, my whole world shifted. Reflect and reframe. L.P. Hartley, in his book The Go-Between, says, "The past is another country. They do things differently there." He may have been reflecting on England pre-World War I. However, this also applies to our thoughts and lives. From a neuropsychological perspective, every time we think about a memory, we change it and grow it, either making it better or making it worse. This is what happened to my grandmother. The bitterness of her brothers and her own reactions ate her up. She couldn't forgive her brothers for their actions, or herself for hers. And every time she thought about it, she grew it, making it worse. This is exactly what Charles Amika refers to in his book, Build Castles, Don't Dig Graves. My grandmother, without knowing it, was digging her own grave in her mind and life. Much of my work is about reframing the past problems while focusing on the future possibilities. Dr. Benjamin Hardy's wisdom as one of the top psychologists of our time is gold. He shares how it is our view of the future that dictates our present, rather than our present being dictated by our past. Ultimately, when we have hope in a future, we can start to reframe our past. He has released many books on the subject, including Willpower Doesn't Work, Being Your Future Self Now, and my personal favourite, The Gap and the Gain. "For know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11, NIV. When we come into alignment with the truth of this scripture, our thinking and understanding will change. When we change the way we see the world we see changes. As human beings, I believe we are wired for love and connection. We need to be nurtured and held, seen and heard, honoured and respected. The work I do now is all about bringing people's lives back into alignment with how they are uniquely wired, enabling them to reframe the past so that they can live a life full of peace and joy and love, and pay it forward to the future and the future of others. It's about living life future present, not past present. Dear reader, I invite you to release, forgive, and let go. Maybe like me, you have no idea that you are holding on to unforgiveness, and it's literally killing you. The person I needed to forgive the most was me. Unforgiveness takes up valuable space in the best real estate I'll ever have. Me. It robs me of my joy each day. It keeps me focused on what is wrong with the world, making me feel terrible. Does justice and life not being fair go around in your head? Sometimes making you feel hard done by, angry, sad, or possibly even depressed. I recall Joyce Meyer saying, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I had to forgive my parents for what I felt they had done to me. I had to reframe that my life hadn't happened to me, victim, and move into life has happened for me and because of me, creator. Holding on to past hurts and pain hurts ourselves. It destroys us and eats us up, preventing us from being filled with the good stuff while we're bunged up with all the hurt and pain. Forgiveness opens the door to making healthy choices. It connects us with the right people at the right time as they come across our path. Finding a way to let go, to release it and give it away without hurting others is gold. Replacing it with the truth that we are loved, chosen, and that we're meant to fit together, not fit in, is another gem for our treasure trove within. I invite you to take time today to sit quietly, to reflect on who or what you are holding on to that needs releasing. I am reminded of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespass against me. The release, relief, elevation and elation that you will feel as you forgive and let go is next level. It is like the old has gone and the new has come. Enjoy getting rid of the baggage that wasn't yours to carry anyway. Call to adventure, the God box or tissue box. This chapter's call to adventure is about the tissue box. It wipes away the tears and leaves you free to be who you call to be, to have fun and make the rest of your life the best of your life. This takes chapter one's call to adventure a little deeper, releasing you from the stuff that holds you back and ties you down. It is not and never was yours to carry. It's like a jacket that is worn out and past its best. It's time to trade it in for a new one that is tailored to your exact measurements. The God box or tissue box is leaving the past behind and reaching forward into our future to call it into the present, the great exchange. I invite you to rewrite your own story as you read this book, using the notebook you may have purchased in chapter one. You are now going to rip the pain out of that book and place it in the God or tissue box. As you rip it out of the book, you are ripping it out of your heart because it hurts and you no longer wish to carry that pain. Allow yourself to feel the pain, release it, and let it go. Then ask God what He wants to exchange it for. It may be a fruit of the Spirit, a song, a vision, or a scripture. This is what you're going to write at the front of your notebook. And every time that unhelpful thought tries to come back or make you sad. You take hold of the great exchange and claim it. I have found this process has allowed me to release the pain and to replace it with love. It shifts me from, this has happened to me, to this has happened for me and because of me, so I can win or learn. The key is, once it has been given away, do not give it any airtime to the thing that has made you sad. If the thought or feeling comes back, claim your inheritance, which is the truth at the front of your book, and keep repeating it over and over to yourself until the pain has gone for good. I have seen hundreds of people rewrite their lives in this way, even people who don't know God or Jesus yet. He is speaking love, kindness, hope and a future into all of us. He was doing this through all of my life and I had no idea. I don't want anyone else reading this book to live a life of regrets or to be held back by negative thoughts, self-sabotage, by hurt, trauma or pain, because that's the enemy's plan to keep you less than. Oh. The tissue box has wiped away so many of my tears and has been one of the keys to the kingdom and my treasure within. My heart is that everyone will walk in love, peace, joy and their unique brilliance every day. It's God's plan. To find that life could be this simple and straightforward, whoa, to remove the lie that if it was confusing, it must be clever and beyond me. To be free and live now unstoppable is the most thrilling, inspiring trajectory journey I have ever been on, having fun and living my best life every day. I really genuinely invite you to do the same. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100, verse 5, ESV.